The first time I saw you was in your apartment. I had followed my friend's single file through the darkness. I looked your direction for excessive inspection, and I could not muster the courage to say a single word. For a while we were playing this game that your friends bought, but everyone cheated and no one could spell. You didn't say much of anything. I must have come off annoying because you went to bed. I walked home with my eyes low, dreaming of conversations we'll have tomorrow. All the classes in high school fell asleep in the now.
Hello, everybody. This is the Rockin' Wrestling Podcast. My name is Ninja Tyler Black. I am the host of this motherfucker. It's April 22nd. Happy birthday, Aurora. That's my sister. It's her birthday. And I'm sitting here in Chicago, Illinois. It's beautiful outside, even though it's cold and windy. And down in the dirty, dirty South, just above that Mason-Dixon line, we got Big Nigga Jim sitting in Tracy, Missouri.
What's happening, everybody?
The world's sexiest killing machine.
Yeah, what's going on?
Not much.
Happy birthday, Aurora. I don't think I've ever met you, but happy birthday.
Yeah, I don't think you've met any of my family, have you? Because my mom has no idea who you are.
Yeah. Because every time I came to pick when you lived here, every time I came to pick you up, you were like already like outside.
Yeah. That's funny because we're such good friends and you've met nobody in my family.
Yeah. You've seen my grandmother on Skype.
Yeah.
So maybe if your mom comes to visit you.
My mom's talking about coming up for the draft.
Oh, what? For the NFL draft?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that means I have to clean my house. I'm not excited about that.
Yeah.
Got to hide all the signs of debauchery that's going on in this house. Got to lock that shit up somewhere.
Got to get the stink of dick out of everything.
I mean, it's just my dick. I mean, but
it's literally everywhere. It's just your dick, but you don't want your whole apartment smelling like dick when your mom comes over.
Exactly. And
it's not a good look.
There's so much semen dripping from the walls of this house that if you walk in there, you're likely to get pregnant.
You think it's paint? It's not paint.
It's not.
Guess what? Here's a rude awakening for you.
You know how the ceiling always has those bumps on it dripping down? That's what that is. It's not asbestos.
Gross.
It's my jizz.
Gross.
Asbest jizz.
Asbestos. So what do you want to start? You want to just dive into what we're doing? Or you want
to... We could talk about wrestling, because there's a lot of wrestling news going on. We could talk about Flash, because we didn't talk about last week's Flash or this week's Flash, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that raw-ass Gotham. The Gotham that won't end. Fucking Peter Petrelli is here to stay.
Yeah, apparently, Peter Petrelli will not leave.
He has three episodes. He gets a trilogy.
Yeah, and I don't even... And right at the end, too. Like, you think they would do, like, a bigger Batman villain for their season finale. And I don't even think, is the Gollum even in Batman lore?
The Ogre?
It seems like I've heard of him, but...
The Ogre.
The Ogre, right. The Gollum was, what was that from? Oh, I think that was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. There was a guy called the Gollum on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We know that was like that shit.
That was like super strong or some shit.
That's just Jewish stuff. Like, remember when Bart made that Gollum?
Yeah. No, fuck. Forget that. Not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sherlock. It was on Sherlock. And it was like this gigantic fucking bald man that was beating the hell out of Sherlock and Watson. On the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, not the Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Because I've seen either of those.
Dude, it's a dope-ass show, man. I'm telling you.
I can't watch British shows. Okay, I'm looking up Ogre now. He is an Aquaman villain. An Aquaman villain, yep.
Is he anything like they've been doing him in this series, or?
Let's see. Ogre is a genetically altered man whose brother is a genetically experimented ape created by Dr. Winston Belmont.
Okay. So they've kind of got part of it except for his brother. Let's see. The ape.
The ogre tracked and murdered the scientists who collaborated the project only to be tracked by Batman himself. In the end, the ape died and the ogre left with the ape's body while Batman handed surviving scientists over to the police. Okay. So he's kind of like a tragic character.
Yeah.
He's not so much a villain.
But he did kill
niggas.
Yeah. But this one, it's like he's got a horrible fucking herpes outbreak on his face until he goes to a plastic surgeon and gets that shit removed. he's like the elephant man of herpes.
Yeah, with really nice hair.
With really nice hair, yeah. Like one side of his face is really, like, he's almost two-faced, but
yeah.
But
Peter Riley has a very Bruce Wayne, Christian Bale look to him in this show with his fucking tuxedo on and shit. It reminded me
that, remember a couple years, I think it was in between, it was like in between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, and he came out and said, there was like a whole article that I remember reading on Superhero Hype, that he was like, he wanted to play Nightwing. He wanted to do a solo Nightwing movie where he played Dick Grayson.
Okay.
And, I mean, I could see it. He would be pretty good.
Yeah, why not?
I think this was around the time that Rocky Balboa movie came out, where he played Rocky's son, I think.
He was Rocky Jr. I didn't see that fucking movie. Rocky V was enough to make me not need to see another Rocky movie ever again.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
How do you let Paulie be in charge of all your financials?
Yeah, pretty stupid. Way to go, Sylvester. But they're getting ready to do another movie they're doing Apollo, where Rocky is training the grandson of Apollo Creed, and it's the kid that's playing Human Torch in that new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah. Not to be confused with Michael Jordan of basketball fame. Oh, shit. You know his parents fucking named him after, like...
I think he's a year older than Michael Jordan being, like, the man.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of he has that Michael Bolton thing from Office Space where it's like, yeah, I had the name first and then he fucking became famous.
Right. That'd be fucking funny.
Yeah.
Have you seen that new Fantastic Four trailer?
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan was, I saw the teaser. Michael B. Jordan was born in 87. I don't think Michael Jordan got drafted until like 89.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That would've been like fucking the three-peat and fucking Bulls Mania, Rodman. Or shit, that was even 89. That was like way before Rodman. Because Rodman was like around fucking 97, because that's when he was coming into WCW and shit and doing shit with fucking NWO.
The greatest NWO member ever. Do you remember his feud with Macho Man in 99?
Rodman's feud with Macho Man?
Yeah.
Vaguely, I do. Was this around Team Madness
time? It was around Team Madness time.
Oh, boy. I kind of remember it. Were they just like feuding over who was like crazier looking?
I think he was trying to rape Gorgeous George.
Oh, that's funny. I follow this Macho Man Randy Savage page on Facebook called Where's Randy Savage, and it's just a series of like pictures that people have photoshopped Macho Man into.
Okay.
There's one where somebody photoshopped him into a scene from Maury, where Maury's like, it's like, you are the father. And it says it like down in the corner, and there's like a picture of Macho Man, somebody fucking photoshopped into it, doing the fucking like one finger up in the air, twirling it around. Mm. It looks really funny. But they posted a picture of Team Madness like yesterday, just posting it. I don't know what the significance of it was, but
can you name all the members of Team Madness?
Yeah, Gorgeous George, Miss Madness, Molly Holly,
okay,
and Medusa,
and who was
and Sid. Yeah, Sid was there for like a second.
Yeah, they were a tag team.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was a member of Team Madness for a little while, and then he went psycho Sid on him and
started. I don't know. He had the powerbomb feud with Nash right after that.
That's right. Yeah, I am. But I went to Gorgeous George's Facebook page because I hadn't like seen her since fucking Team Madness days and shit. She aged all right. She looks okay.
She's fucking like one of the misfits, right?
I think so. Yeah, because yeah. Her at least on her Facebook page, it's her last name's Frankenstein. So
oh, so she's fucking Doyle.
Yeah.
All right. Respect, my nigga Doyle.
My nigga Doyle.
How did we get to that? Yeah, so let's talk about the Flash. We didn't talk about last week's Flash. What did you think of the Flash Adam team up?
Could have been better.
Did I say that? I said you'd expect more from a Flash Adam team up, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't great, but it wasn't awful.
Yeah, it was just
like
okay.
it was setting up him shrinking, which is a good thing. And I really liked the bond that him and Cisco were kind of getting into,
mm-hmm.
which even carried over into Arrow the next night for like a little scene at the very end.
Arrow was fucking raw the next night.
Yeah. Oh my God. Fucking Arrow.
Arrow won the week last week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Fucking dude. You can't fucking kill somebody and then bring them back and kill somebody else. Immediately.
It fucks with my emotions because I don't know how I feel. Like I'm like
so much.
I'm like, what, they killed Roy? What the fuck? And then it's like, oh yeah, I'm not dead. Oh, here we go. Let's kill Thea.
Yeah.
Which is like somebody. The one person that's like not really from Arrow, like from the fucking continuity of the comics. So it's like the
most expendable
person.
Yeah, well, you know what I was thinking at what I've been thinking actually. Since she's with Roy or was with Roy, do you think she's Cheshire? Do you think she's going to be Cheshire at some point? Or just because now she's got like the fighting skills and everything?
I don't think so.
Because Roy and Cheshire had a kid together.
Did they in the comics? I know they did on Young Justice.
Yeah. No, that was in the book.
Because I know now Roy's pretty much with Starfire, right?
I don't know
if you read Red Hood and the Outlaws, but for a while that was like my favorite book.
I've read a little bit of it. Just
I don't like magic, so magic in comics is like a big turnoff to me.
Yeah.
So and there's a lot of magic with like Starfire and shit, and like stuff that just like this is how it works just because.
Right.
So I don't like it.
Well, see,
and words that I can't pronounce. Like this isn't a real word. Why am I sitting here trying to read this fake word?
I kind of like it. I kind of like sorcery and shit, but
I like that shit. It turns me off.
I've only read Red Hood and the Outlaws of what was connected with Death of the Family.
Okay.
So I only read those.
It's got to be like the coolest like misfit team of just people that don't seem like they fit together, but they just kind of find each other.
Yeah, I hate Red Hood's helmet now that it has a face on it.
I haven't read it in a while, so I haven't even seen the face on the helmet.
Yeah, in the Death of the Family, his new helmet the helmet at that time in Death of the Family had like a fucking face on it. They put a face on it. I like the fucking blank, just straight red with the eyes, Red Hood helmet.
I know a lot of times they'll just wear like the Domino mask, and
that's always
cool.
Yeah, when he takes the helmet off, he has a Domino mask. That's awesome. I just don't like the face of in the metal of the actual helmet. It looks weird. I also I don't know why Roy needs to be wearing a hat.
He's the only superhero. Look,
a fucking hat. What kind of superhero wears a fucking trucker hat? It's so weird.
He wore a Los Angeles Kings hat.
Yeah, it was so weird, but I don't know.
It was to hide his outfit.
I like the look.
It's this whole I don't give a fuck look. I'm still wearing tights, but I'm wearing a jacket and a hat.
I don't hate it as much as I hate the Red Robin costume, but
Yeah, the Red Robin costume kind of has a lot going on.
It's too much. Dude, it's too busy. It's too busy and fucking dumb looking, and I hate the feathers on as the cape. It looks weird.
I kind of don't mind the feathers as a cape.
And then he's got, like, the fucking, the Hawkman, like, ex-bandolier thing.
Fucking Wyman blowing us up while we're podcasting. I heard that shit vibrate on your side. Now I see why it vibrated.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn it. I'll sit on my bed then. Yeah. No, Brian just fucking tweeted something to me.
Talking about these nuts.
Yeah. Oh, these nuts?
Yeah.
Probably.
He's obsessed with these nuts. If a video doesn't
he loves that fucking video, man. Like, ever since it fucking came out, he fucking loves that video.
What video?
It's just, it's a fucking Vine of this, like, kind of a funny looking black dude with, like, huge, like, protruding teeth, really bad, like, cracked teeth.
Okay.
And the Vine is him making a prank call. And he asked for something or whatever. And then he's like, these nuts? Got him! And that's it. It's just the way he says it. It's funny in context when you see it. But people have, like, taken the Vine and have started, like, splicing the audio or the video into other things. Right. And there's a whole video on YouTube of people that have done it. Like, spliced it into music videos and clips of SpongeBob and shit and...
So, Brian, I'm going to tell you right now, these nuts stopped being funny in 1999. Sorry.
Yeah, it was really funny, like, whenever Road Dogg said it on Raw.
The last funny D's nuts is, like, on Crank Anchors when Snoop Dogg called the chick, like, hey, you like tapes or CDs? She's like, you know, I like CDs. Like, well, CDs nuts in your motherfucking mouth, bitch.
Yeah.
That was the last funny D's nuts that I ever heard.
I do remember that. Crank Anchors was awesome.
Yeah. Bring that back.
Yeah, no shit. They really should.
We lost ourselves again.
Yeah, they're not bringing that show back, but no, let's bring back Full House on fucking Netflix as Fuller House.
I just heard about this with DJ Kimmy.
Yeah, they just officially confirmed it today that they are doing that show. And from what I read before this, it's going to focus on DJ and Kimmy Gibbler.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Who's fucking Kimmy Gibbler?
Huh?
Who's fucking Kimmy Gibbler?
I don't know who's fucking Kimmy Gibbler.
Okay. Because DJ, she's married to Aladdin, right? So, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. If they're going to carry it over from the show, then, yeah, she probably would have married Aladdin. But, I don't know. I don't know who's with Kimmy Gibbler. Maybe she'll be like the fucking, like, her, like, ultra horny best friend or something. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Where, like, she's just, like, she's not with anybody, but she's just, like, fucking everybody under the sun.
They should bring back Michelle's gay friend and let him be the funny gay guy in the show.
Michelle's gay friend?
Yeah, the kid from Little Rascals. Derek. The little blonde kid.
Oh, the one that played like the uppity kid in Little Rascals.
Right.
The uppity rich kid that tries to steal Darla.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I forgot he fucking wound up on that show. I totally forgot about
that's
that.
That's where he was on that show before he was on Little Rascals.
Yeah.
It was just Michelle's little gay friend who grew up to be, drum roll please, gay.
Gay. No kidding. That kid looked like a little girl at the time. It was like, you're gonna love penis when you get older, kid. You're gonna love it.
I think he did a porn, if I'm not mistaken.
He's in a porn?
I think he did porn.
Oh, gay kid from Little Rascals, what are you doing? Did he, just like fucking Laura's little, like, missing little sister on Family Matters, I heard was in a porn.
Yeah, she was in a porn.
Yeah. And also, I think Jonathan from Who's the Boss was...
Oh, no, he was a go-go dancer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
That's the same thing. When they put the money in your little boy shorts, they grab your junk. So.
Right. Boy, we have went off the rails.
I've been trying to get us back to Arrow.
I know, but we keep...
And you had to talk about Full House.
I can't help it. There's so many fucking funny things happening right now. Yeah, like, I can't help
like,
it.
Like the curb stomp is banned now.
What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
So he's been doing it since he fucking debuted in NXT.
In FCW.
Yeah. Fucking all the way back then. And now if there's a fucking problem with it, fuck off. Give me a break.
What happened on Flash today?
Flash today was they found the dead body of Harrison Wells.
Yeah. They also had the Everyman.
Yeah, Everyman. Yeah, had him. He stole Barry's identity and then went and fucking tried to get up on some Caitlin Snow.
Yeah.
And like he was trying to get it too. He was really trying to get at it, but no, didn't happen. But but now fucking Everyman, like it was weird that Everyman just like stopped morphing at Iris.
Yeah.
Like whenever he hit him with the serum and it fucked with his molecules or whatever, he stopped morphing and the form he finally stopped at was Iris.
Which is weird.
So now it's evil Iris. Yeah. Unless, you know, he gets out and he can get his fucking powers going back again.
No, but, he can still morph. He was morphing at the end of the episode.
Did he morph into somebody else at the end of the episode?
Yeah, because remember...
Oh, that's right. Barry. He morphed into Barry.
And then he morphed into Caitlin.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. When she was... Yeah, okay. Because I watched this...
But then he morphed into himself, but he couldn't remember how he looked. He looked like powder with no eyes.
Yeah, powder. Maybe he's going to rub a spoon and turn it magnetic. That was a weird movie.
It was a weird movie. Shout out to Jeff Goldblum. We know you're listening.
Shout out to Jeff. Well, Jesse. Shout out to Jesse Jeff Goldblum. Jesse Jeff Goldblum Jones.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Flash. Flash was awesome. But let's see how Arrow brings it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gotham cliffhanger.
I've seen the preview for tomorrow's episode of Arrow.
Okay, so what happens tomorrow on Arrow?
Well, I don't know. Just from the preview, I know we're going to be dealing with the Lazarus Pit and putting Thea into it. So, like, Ra's al Ghul is basically, like, tied Ollie's hands to where, like, now he has to fucking get with the fucking League of Assassins.
Okay.
So, they're going to put Thea into the Lazarus Pit, and the last shot they show is her coming out of it. And you know how the Lazarus Pit works, where, like, you come out of the Lazarus Pit and you're crazy, right? You're just crazy violent, and they show her, like, jumping out and lunging at Ollie. So, that's going to go down tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, fucking Cisco made Black Canary a fucking...
Canary Cry, dog, yeah.
Made her Canary Cry dog collar thing.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was fucking tits. I can't wait.
I love how, like, this universe is like, we're going to get everything. We're going to take a long time to get it. So, it's like...
Which is... you know what? I'm fine with them, like, kind of developing this shit. Like, don't give us your load all at once. Like, fucking...
Yeah, give us a little tip skeet and give us some shaft, and then you gotta go balls deep.
Romance us a little bit. Yeah. Take us out to dinner.
Play with the
light nipples. Light some candles. Yeah, get a little foreplay in there.
Yeah.
Arrow should be fucking live tomorrow.
It'll just be funny if it's just like Bruce Wayne, Batman just shows up and starts whooping ass and like, hey, I'm Batman, what's up?
Yeah. Bruce shows up and is like, aren't I the one that's supposed to be doing all this? You're supposed to be trying to get whatever. You know what? I don't care. You know what? This saves me a lot of trouble right now.
See, if it was me, I would just write like the most like fan service, jerk you off episode, whatever. So it's like fucking the Joker rolls into Star City. Star City. starts fucking shit up, and then Batman and Robin jump down and are beating up fucking people, turn into clowns with fucking Oliver Queen and Roy Harper. And he's like, hey, what's up? I'm the Batman. This nigga came from my city.
Flash shows up and is like, hey, I'm Flash. Let's fucking team up and do shit. Here comes the Atom. Oh, that would be a great episode. Yeah. Hopefully that'll happen in that fucking all-star team-up show they're trying to do. So
yeah, that'll be sweet.
That's coming next season, so I'm looking forward to it.
See what happens with that Teen Titan show.
Oh, yeah, that's still coming too. That's next year on TNT, as far as I know. That's
the first time I'm going to watch TNT since fucking WCW Nitro was on. Because there's not shit on TNT.
I was watching, and I kind of fell out of it, but it was a good show called The Librarians. Pass. And it was like, it's pretty good. It's not bad. John Larroquette's in it. It's pretty good.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
Fucking dude from Night Court. He was one of the lawyers on Night Court.
Was he the bald-headed bailiff?
No, he wasn't bald-headed bailiff, and he wasn't a black lady bailiff either. So
that's the only people I remember from Night Court.
And Harry Anderson, Judge Harry.
Nope, just the bald-headed clown. That's what I used to call him when I was 3 years old. Even at 3 years old, I was afraid of bald-headed white men. So.
We come, they call on me.
So, for the record, bald-headed Kane, way scarier than Kane in the mask. Kane in the mask, the friendly character that might show up at a birthday party. Bald-headed Kane might drag you behind a truck.
Yeah, and do dirty things to you. Don't fuck nerdy things.
Thank you, Bubbles.
Thank you, Bubbles.
You want to dip our toe in the water of what happened in the wrestling world this week, or do you want to do the movie?
I want the movie review to be
the main event, because that's what everybody's here to hear.
Let's just touch on it. Seth Rollins no longer can use the curb stomp.
Yeah, he has a weird DDT. It's like a reverse version of the Christian reverse DDT.
Yeah. It's not that exciting.
It's really not. Right? He has so many cool moves that he's used over his entire career. He can use the Skywalker. He can use the fucking small package driver.
The Phoenix Splash.
Phoenix Splash might make him a babyface, though. That's a little too cool of him.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But
Kurt Vaughn was perfect for him. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Yet again, more fucking Vince logic fucking coming through loud and clear.
Yeah.
So
it's weird.
I don't know. It's bullshit. Loud and queer. Is that what you just said?
I said it's weird.
Oh. I thought you said loud and queer. Well, yeah, it was a little loud and queer that they're fucking taking this away from us, but.
We got a pay-per-view this Sunday.
I'm debating on whether or not to even bother watching it or not.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
I know, but...
I mean, I'm paying for this network. You might as well watch it.
Yeah, did I hear them correctly? There's a fucking Kiss My Ass match tomorrow night. No,
you heard them incorrectly.
Kiss My Arse there's
a
match?
A Kiss Me Arse match.
Fuck my life. God damn it. I know.
So let's go through this card. We got Kid and Cesaro defend against the New Day of Biggie and Kofi.
Yeah. Real quick, can we stop putting Kid and Cesaro on the fucking kickoff show? Thank you. That's the piece that I wanted to say about it. They're too good to be on the fucking kickoff show. Fuck you. Put them on the regular show. Put a fucking gimmick. Make it a fucking gimmick match. Tag team gimmick match. All some right. kind of fucking hardcore match.
Yeah,
it's Extreme Rules for fuck's sakes. You get
last year Extreme Rules, we got that awesome WLC match where everybody tried to kill themselves.
My God, dude, yeah, that is.
This is like a 1 year anniversary though, right? Because that's when we started doing the shows around Extreme Rules.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think the night after. Yeah.
No, it was before. I think it was around this time because you went to SmackDown and Brian cut the promo on Kane because he was going to wrestle Kane at the pay per view. Because it was before Brian got injured. So it was like right around this time when we started the show. So happy anniversary, Jim.
Happy anniversary, T.
Yeah.
Fucking many more to come. If we had champagne glasses and we were in the same room, we could clink them together.
You know what? I think it might have been a month after, because I think they didn't have a pay-per-view in April last year. That's what it was. It was in May.
That's right, they did.
It was Extreme Rules was in May, so it just kind of threw off the feng shui of the pay-per-view schedule. And there were two pay-per-views in June. They had Payback and Money in the Bank both in June.
Well, then I rescind my congratulations on 1 year.
I'll find when our real anniversary is, and then we'll have an anniversary special. So, happy 11-month anniversary.
Yeah.
So we got Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight.
That should be pretty dope.
Yeah, the tag team that never was.
Yeah.
Roman, go ahead.
You would think they'd be a tag. They dress exactly alike. You'd think they would be a team by now.
Yeah. I think that Monday they're going to realize that, and then they're just going to be a tag team.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns versus Big Show in a last man standing match.
God.
That's all I need to hear. Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus in a Kiss Me Arse match.
Fuck you. Extreme Rules. Kiss Me Arse match.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Damn it.
Nikki Bella defends the Divas Championship against Naomi.
It would be all right.
It could be all right.
I really like Naomi.
Nikki's not awful. She's not Rosa Mendez.
Does it feel kind of out, like completely out of nowhere for Naomi to turn heel?
It really does, but it was supposed to be AJ, but AJ retired.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Now, if Daniel Bryan isn't fucking crippled, which he may be, he's going to defend his Intercontinental Championship against Wade Barrett.
In a certain kind of match or just a match?
Just a match. What do you think of this Daniel Bryan situation, him getting taken off the road and being evaluated, how he might be re-injured or injured still or just completely fucked up?
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Oh, really?
I know that.
You haven't heard about
this? I hadn't heard about it.
They pulled him off the road.
I was wondering where it was last night. But
yeah, they took him off the road after SmackDown last week. So he didn't finish the European tour. He wasn't on Raw this week. I don't even think he was at Raw this week.
Ow. No, I hadn't heard about that at all.
I don't think he was at SmackDown.
God damn it.
Remember we talked about that Ming Vaz? Like, don't be throwing that shit around.
Stop with the fucking suicide dives. That's what's fucking you up. The suicide dives and the diving headbutts.
Diving headbutts and taking dragon suplexes from Luke Harper and shit. And getting thrown off the steps.
Quit it.
Yeah.
Fucking quit it.
Being in ladder matches probably didn't help.
Like fucking Stone Cold, after he fucking broke his neck, had to like reevaluate everything he fucking did in the ring. And he stopped getting hurt. His neck, you know, he was still able to go like quite a few more years on the road and fucking having matches. Daniel Bryan needs to do the same thing. He needs to fucking adapt to his fucking situation.
He might not even be able to wrestle again, so we'll see what happens.
I don't want to think about that, because that would suck.
That would suck. John Cena versus Rusev in a Russian chain match for the United States Championship.
Yeah.
Might
be all right.
Main event, Seth Rollins defending the World Championship against Randy Orton in a steel cage match. RKO is banned, and Kane is the key master and the gatekeeper.
The key man. Yeah. He totally is. Except he didn't have to crawl out of a fridge to do it. So.
I think this match, Kane's going to get turned into a fucking dog.
Yeah, right? Zool, motherfucker. Zool.
Yeah.
Fucking. And I still maintain that, like, Randy Orton puts up a cage. And I saw a picture somebody posted of, like, Randy Orton was talking about, like, we're gonna have a cage to keep J&J security out, and then there was a picture of J&J Security pulling Seth Rollins out during a Randy Orton Seth Rollins cage match a couple months ago, like pulling him out of the door.
I don't even remember them having a cage match a couple months ago.
I don't either.
Was this on a house show?
No, it was, I don't know what it was. It was just a picture that I saw. It was like a meme that fucking, the caption was, the caption was like, I'm going to put a cage around the ring so J&J Security can't interfere. And then the picture was J&J Security fucking grabbing Seth Rollins by either one of his arms and fucking trying to pull him through the door. And Randy Orton kind of stopping him. Or it might not have been Randy Orton, I don't know, but that's the gist of it, is that it's not going to keep anybody out, you know? Right. It never does. If they had done like the fucking, like the dog kennel match, but without the dogs, and put the cage inside the Hell in a Cell, now you fucking got something. That would be dope as hell. Or just put a roof on the regular cage. I mean, fuck. Do something.
We did talk about that last week. But let's continue on with the show. Keep it rolling. What did you get NXT last week?
Oh.
Sami Zayn's back.
That's right. Yes. That match with him and Rhino was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I wouldn't say it was fucking awesome, but.
I loved it. Yeah. Rhino fucking is awesome. I love Rhino. Always will love Rhino.
And
No, it was a fucking awesome match. No Kevin Owens, which always a bummer when he's not around.
Yeah. Hopefully he's healthy by these tapings tomorrow. I think TV tapings.
Our good friend fucking Blue Pants.
Oh yeah.
Came back.
Friend of the show, Leva Bate, aka Blue Pants, is on wrestling Dana Burke.
Yeah, who is not good at all. Just ooh, that was a... Oh, man. Like, she was great. Fucking Leva was great, as always. Right. But boy, like, that Dana Brooke really likes to fucking touch herself, doesn't she?
Yeah, it was like way too erotic.
5 minutes in the goddamn ring of her fucking, like, touching her titties and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like...
I see your titties. Thank you.
And her, like, move on. Repeatedly flexing her arm.
Yeah.
Like, the same arm.
The same arm.
Over again. Yeah. Stop it.
Like, hey, weren't you in, like, fitness competitions? Don't you know other poses? Motherfucker. I know they have alternates to a single bicep curl.
Yeah. And
do the Hulk Hogan most muscular.
Mm-hmm. And she looks like a fucking, like a clone of Hogan's daughter. She really looks like a clone of Brooke Hogan.
Well, Brooke Hogan pretty much looks like a Hitler Barbie doll.
Yep. That's a good point. Really surprised WWE hasn't brought her in for something stupid, because it seems like...
Do you not remember that angle with Randy Orton trying to rape her and then him fucking RKO and Hulk Hogan on the car?
How long ago was that?
2006. I think that might have been Hulk Hogan's last match in WWE.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, yeah.
I remember the angle with the Aces and Eights and her marrying Bubba Ray Dudley. And then Bubba Ray Dudley. Then you find out Bubba Ray Dudley was in the Aces and Eights. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. So, oh, whatever. Dana Brooke is not great. So, I know it was just probably her first match and everything, but...
She's had she's had like house show matches, and she wrestled at the WrestleMania weekend show. So it wasn't her first match.
Someone tell her to get her shit together, because she's not very good at all.
Well, you gotta start somewhere, Jim, and it is about they are bringing people up from scratch.
Being
a shitty women's wrestler is not quite, it's pretty commonplace in the WWE.
Yeah, so. But not in NXT. I mean, in NXT, we got fucking great women's wrestlers in there.
Right. I mean, in a world of Rosa Mendez's, she's not that bad.
In a world of fucking Eva Marie's and
compared to the Eva Marie Bailey match, this is fucking Flair Steamboat.
Yeah, that's a good point. God damn, that woman is terrible.
And she has a better finish than Eva Marie.
Yeah. please go away, Eva Marie. Nobody likes you.
Well, I haven't seen her outside of Total Divas, so.
I haven't either, and it's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on Raw like what was it, last month or something? She was just like outside the ring or whatever for somebody's match, but
okay, weird.
Yeah, she was like in somebody's corner and just there, like she didn't do anything.
I saw her at the Hall of Fame with her weird husband.
Did he have a gun? And she's just following him around. Why do you have a gun? Guns are bad.
Like, he might have had some kids too.
Where'd you get guns and kids at? Who is selling guns and kids together? Why do you have these things? Oh shit. No, she's terrible. So,
thank you for overall, that. I needed that.
Yeah, it was a not bad episode of NXT.
Yeah, good. They've been better.
Yeah.
It was. I think it was last taping. I mean, the last show of the taping. So probably get some fresh ones coming up soon.
How long until they do another pay per view or whatever the hell
they'll probably announce the next one on this current on this set of tapings.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be soon, right? I mean. It's been a while.
It's only been a couple months. What was the last one?
February?
Yeah. So maybe late May. I think that's I think the first one was in February, then they had one in May, then
September. They need to just start doing one a month.
No. They were going to do it, but no, I think it's so much better quarterly. Because it's a one-hour show, so you have time to build everybody's storyline. So by the time a fucking special comes up, everybody has a storyline that we've invested time in. So we don't get Kevin Owens every week. We don't get Sami Zayn every week. We don't get Finn Balor every week. So if we get them every now and then, it's time to spread out and have time for other storylines to develop. And let their stories breathe. Like, oh, that was fucking awesome what they did with Kevin Owens last week. Let's see what they do with Enzo Amore and Big Cass and the fucking Dubstep Brothers.
I get it. I get the logic of it, and I understand it. But I am a very impatient person, and I just want to fucking watch NXT like all the time. So,
well, that's what going back and watching the old stuff is for.
I know. I fucking went back and watched. I was just about to fucking go back and watch the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match again. Last week or something. I don't know what happened and I didn't do it, but
then you got high and then you got high.
Yeah, then I got high. No, I didn't get high.
That's a shot.
I don't have any money or anything right now, so no, I'm not smoking right now, so life is lame. But yeah, no, I love NXT. I just want to fucking see more of it all the time.
So did you watch Lucha Underground? Because I've been missing it. I've been super busy.
No, damn it. I was going to watch it last night, and it was starting to get kind of late after I watched The Chaperone. And
After I watched The Chaperone, I went on a long walk just to clear my mind of what I saw. I stopped taking notes like 15 minutes before the end of the movie because it was so taxing on my brain.
Oh my God, me too. I did the same thing. Like by the time like it was almost the end of the movie, I was just like, there's nothing more to write down because this is all ridiculous. This is all stupid. Oh man. Like I wrote down what I needed to write down and
I went and walked around beautiful Hyde Park and looked at some shops and bought like ate a nice prime rib from the Barack Obama restaurant.
Oh fuck yeah!
It was like a $13 prime rib. I was like, I thought I was gonna get like a couple slices of prime rib. Like at the casino. Nope, big ass fucking prime rib stick on the bone. I was like, yep, I can fuck with this.
Fuck yeah, that's good shit.
That is good
shit. I just fucking heard a story yesterday. It came up on like the Fox 4 Facebook page or something like that. Where it was like some woman. I want to say in Texas or something at some restaurant ate 3 72-ounce fucking porterhouse steaks
and then died. And,
no, very much alive. She was very much alive and I was like, I want to fuck with this girl. Like that's the girl you want to fucking get with.
Yeah,
okay. Girl who could fucking murder 3 72-ounce steaks, and she wasn't like fat or anything.
Damn it! I'll step on my joke. I was gonna say because she's thick, but
Yeah, no, she was not.
This is a steak right here. Can you see it?
I cannot because it's not the picture.
Oh wait, hold on. It's only got 10 seconds.
Oh damn!
Yep.
Up with that steak. I'm throw those green beans against the wall, but
you don't like green beans?
I hate green beans, dude. I always have. I can't stand them. Green beans, tomatoes, most vegetables. Like, the only vegetables I've ever been able to fuck with are like carrots and potatoes and corn and
Only one of those that you just mentioned were a vegetable, but okay.
Yeah, I know potatoes aren't a vegetable, but I don't know what other fucking way to classify it. So I know starch, whatever the fuck, I don't care.
Corn isn't a vegetable either.
Oh, bullshit.
It's a grain.
I don't care. I don't care. It's a vegetable. I don't care. It's a vegetable. It's not. No, it's a vegetable in my book. It falls under vegetables.
In the gym book of food?
Yeah, it falls under vegetables. Like, I'm not gonna, like, there's vegetables, fruits, and the, you know, it's either one or the other to me. Tomato's not a fruit. I don't fucking care what science fucking says. Tomato is not a fruit. Tomato's a vegetable, fruit, and it's
eaten. Is the product of a plant.
I don't care.
A vegetable is a plant.
I love fruit. I hate tomatoes.
Do you love every fruit? Do you like grapefruit? I don't fuck with grapefruit.
No, I don't know. I don't fuck with grapefruit either. I don't hate it as much as tomatoes.
Do you fuck with cantaloupes? Cantaloupes are fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I haven't had a cantaloupe in a long time. I don't like those either.
Now, fucking honeydew. I can fuck with a good honeydew.
Yeah, no, cantaloupe's not that great. Grapefruit sucks. But I like more fruit than I do vegetables.
Jim, that's because you are a fruit. So let's talk about the chaperone.
What a great 90s joke that you just fucking pulled out. That was like every joke in the chaperone. I'm surprised that didn't show up.
The Chaperone was a 90s movie made in 2010.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So we want to move on to this?
Let's talk about this. This is Triple H's magnum opus, our main event of the evening, The Chaperone.
Oh, my God. You guys.
I'm going to run through this thing beginning to end. I'm going to tell you the entire story of The Chaperone. So, Brian, strap in because you're about to get your mind fucked by this goddamn movie.
Yeah. Dude,
What are your overall thoughts on The Chaperone?
It was dumb with a lot of fucking, like, pointless fucking B stories and C stories and subplots and shit.
God, the fucking subplots were the worst. Like,
oh my God, dude. Like, fucking, fucking Lisa Simpson. By the way, the teacher is played by
Lisa Simpson. The movie's kind of awesome, though. There's fucking Elliot DeMauro / Veronica Mars' dad, fucking Lisa Simpson, and Uncle Eddie from Grounded for Life.
Yeah. Yeah. Those people.
Three people from three of my favorite shows of all time are in this movie.
And I don't understand. Four
of my favorite shows of all time because Elliot DeMauro and Veronica Mars are awesome, and I love that show.
Which one was he? Which guy was he? Because I've never watched Veronica Mars.
Did you watch fucking Just Shoot Me?
Yeah.
He was a photographer. Triple H's ex-wife's current husband in the movie.
That's who that fucking was. I knew I recognized that dude. Yeah. Okay.
He deserves a much bigger part in this movie. He had like three scenes, and all of them pointless.
Oh my God, dude. Okay. When he was trying to work that remote, he was doing a lot of fucking stupid slapstick that just didn't need to happen. Because it's like, okay, look, dude. You clearly fucking had this remote thing installed to work the curtains, to work the TV, to work the stereo, to work everything in your house. You should know how the fuck it works. You shouldn't be sitting there on it and fucking like, Oh, I thought I hit TV. Nope, here comes the curtains. The curtains are coming down. Oh, let me turn those off. Nope, now the DVD player's on. Oh, wait, let
me put... The whole point of that scene was so that Triple H's ex-wife didn't know that he was on the field trip with the daughter. Let's go to this movie from beginning to end. I'm going to start. If I miss anything, feel free to jump in, all right? Okay, so it starts out, Triple H is in jail with the worst fake beard I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just, he looked like a Geico caveman.
Yeah, that he winds up like cutting with tiny scissors later on when he's cutting it off. He pulls out like the tiniest scissors possible to fucking cut off this entire beard.
He should have just like peeled it off because it looked like it was going to fall off at any moment.
And then in the next scene, he is smooth, like smooth as silk. I'm like, why didn't you just fucking use your razor starting out, man? Why did you fucking hack at it with scissors first?
All right, so he's on the phone with some female Frasier Crane, Dr. Ruth wannabe.
Who I honestly thought, you couldn't see her face really well because they kept shooting her in a weird angle. Right. I thought it was Kathy Bates.
It kind of was fucking discount Kathy Bates.
It was. Like, I was convinced for, like, most of this movie that it was Kathy Bates. And then they finally, like, shot her, right in her face where you could fucking see. And it's like, okay, you're not Kathy Bates, but you look a lot like her.
If Kathy Bates fucks Paula Deen, we get this lady.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God. So she's like a...
Yeah, go ahead.
She's like Frasier self-help lady.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wrote. Female Frasier Crane, Dr. Ruth. Right. And there's some guy looks like Rufio behind Triple H, like blowing kisses at him, and Triple H beats the shit out of him with the phone. Mm-hmm. But somehow he still gets released from jail. Yeah. No penalties for beating up a fellow inmate with the phone.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick?
All right, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Okay. So anyway, I have a friend who was in jail and was only supposed to be there for 2 years.
Okay.
Now, he wound up getting a third year tacked on because he beat somebody so bad with the business end of a phone. Just like Triple H fucking beat this guy's ass while he's on the phone. And I'm watching this and I'm like, how did you not fucking get more time? Just because you're Triple H, you know?
Yeah. He is the game, after all.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. Oh, man. God, every fucking bit of this movie, dude. I swear to God.
All right, so he's talking to the guard, getting out of jail. He gives him some books. Apparently, Triple H is a big dinosaur nerd. And he likes self-help books.
Such a weird character trait.
So weird. And it's like they introduce these character traits for people just so they can come into play later on. It's like, oh, when is this going to come into play? Why do they reference this?
This whole movie is foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It's nothing but foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
So he's leaving jail, and Uncle Eddie from Grounded for Life shows up in a really nice Camaro, and Triple H steals it.
Which should have landed him right back in there, right?
He stole the car in front of jail.
Yes, yes. And I kept thinking, like, okay, this guy, okay, the guy driving the car is a criminal. He's his old criminal buddy. But he wasn't committing any crimes at the time. That was his car. That was his fucking car. And Triple H just fucking stole it.
Yep.
Just fucking took it. And I'm like, honestly, you should be turning right around and going right back through that gate. When you get out of prison, my friend told me, because I asked him when he came out, because in almost every prison movie, when someone gets released from prison, they open up the giant gates and let them walk through. Not how it happens at all. They get on a bus, that bus takes them to another fucking bus stop, and then that bus takes them home. Or takes them to the next bus stop where someone has to pick them up.
Okay.
They don't just open up the gates and let you fucking, like, he's in the middle of fucking nowhere. Where's he going to fucking walk to? There's nothing around him.
So he goes to some place. We don't know where he is. He's just in a room on a bed, and he's looking at a picture of his weird faced daughter.
Yeah.
And he goes to sleep. I'm like, Triple H, where are you?
Okay.
Explain. I didn't see him go into any buildings. I don't see him, like, rent a hotel room. I don't know if he's staying with friends.
I've never bought an apartment myself, but all my friends have. It's a fucking process to get an apartment room to get your fucking own apartment. It's a process. Like, you don't just fucking walk out of jail and like, hey, I need an apartment. Okay, here you go.
Here's some keys.
Here's some keys. Have fun. Have fun with it.
No money? No problem. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Like, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen like that.
I don't know if he was in a halfway house, if he was in rehab. I don't know where he was. He was just somewhere.
It was just a shitty apartment building.
Yeah.
That was just whatever, you know?
So he goes to this mansion, and he has his Triple H ponytail going with his clean shave face. And he meets his ex-wife. They have the Full House music playing in the background, and they bicker for a while. Triple H's dialogue in this movie is pretty much, I've changed.
Yeah.
That's all he says.
I've changed. He quotes something from that, from Dr. Ruth's book or whatever the fuck about the process of change, and every change takes a step, and like every step is a piece of change or whatever the fuck. Like, everything is a little like inspiring quote that
by the way, can I borrow some change? I just got out of jail.
Can I borrow some change? I just got out of jail. I just got an apartment. I need to pay for it. So bad.
So his daughter shows up with her weird face. He gives her a teddy bear and she walks away. Then he stalks her to school and they bicker.
Oh, you can't trip. Triple H, you just can't show up at a fucking little kid's school. I don't care if it's your daughter, your son, your cousin, or whatever the fuck. You just can't show up at a fucking school, dude.
Yeah.
And sit outside in your car in front of said school until the fucking kid you're waiting for shows up. And then you just, like, walk across the street.
And argue with a little girl in front of this school. Bickering. I've changed. You abandoned me, but I've changed.
But aren't you listening? I've changed. Just you. Oh my God. Like, this is the worst school in America. And so, they have like no security. Nobody cares if a kid gets abducted.
And then they had a kid setting off fireworks and then two kids fighting over the same fireworks. And Triple H comes and breaks up the fight. And he quotes The Art of War. And this 10-year-old boy is like, you read The Art of War? And Triple H is like, yeah. Who has it?
You're 10. You're not fucking reading The Art of War. Shut up. And then he had, like, again, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
More foreshadowing. Nothing but in this movie. That's it.
Then Lisa Simpson shows up as an old lady teacher and asks Triple H if he wants a chaperone school trip.
Yeah, because
they're going to go see dinosaurs at the New Orleans Museum of Art. Now, I've been to New Orleans Museum of Art several times. They have really awesome Monet exhibits, a lot of Degas. They ain't got no dinosaurs at the art museum. That's a natural history museum thing. Why the fuck would there be dinosaur bones at an art museum? It's just weird.
I guess dinosaur bones is art. I guess they're art now.
And Triple H also got a fucking boner when he heard about dinosaurs.
Yeah, like immediately. And then let's also fucking let's not gloss over the fact that he's an adult that this teacher at a school has never seen before. And immediately she's like, you want to chaperone a bunch of kids on a field trip? Yeah, sure. You don't have to check my background or anything, do you? There's no background check, no nothing. Just put me on a bus with a bunch of kids. Why not? Oh, boy.
So then Uncle Eddie shows up at Triple H's hotel room, offers him a legal job to be the getaway driver. Triple H cuts some promo and punches a hole in the wall.
Triple H is nothing but promos in this movie, too. Like, as much as he's quoting other things that he's read out of books, he's also just doing promos. That's it. He's not acting. He's just doing promos.
Yeah, so we meet Triple H's ex-wife's husband, Elliot DeMauro from Just Shoot Me, or Veronica Mars' dad, Keith Mars. He mentions about 5 times that he's a doctor. Why that's important, I have no idea. He's having a bunch of expensive shit put into his house, TVs and shit.
they have to make him seem like a weak nerd in front of Triple H and Triple H his wife. Just, you know, for more foreshadowing. God damn, just fucking tell the story of the movie. Like, you don't have to tell us what's going to happen, like, fucking step by step before it happens. Just fucking tell a story in a movie. That's all you got to do.
Yep, so they bicker some more. I've changed.
I've changed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So they show Triple H trying to find a job. It's like, if you want to change, get a job. So he's a fish out of water in a world of hybrid cars and vegan restaurants.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's like a really bad montage of like, oh, yeah, I can work on what I can work on any car. A car is a car, right? And he's like, well, what about smart cars? And he's like, that's not a car. Yes, it is, Triple H. Yes, it is. I know you've been in jail for 7 years, but it's a car. It's giant and it has wheels. It's a car. Okay.
So then he's making a phone call to Dr. Ruth from my mom's old job, Union Station in New Orleans. So that was kind of nostalgic seeing that. Oh, cool. I probably used that payphone before, and I played Mortal Kombat in the arcade right next to that Mortal Kombat 4 for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
You got a real connection with this movie.
I got a real connection with this movie. So it's like they're on a charter bus field trip to New Orleans when they're already in New Orleans. So it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
They establish later that they're from Lafayette. But yeah. Very much later, like almost the end of the movie.
Yeah. Like, that's why we had to travel so far. Oh, man.
They're driving to New Orleans, you see them underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Across the Mississippi River. That's like probably one of our most famous landmarks, but whatever.
Yes.
So let's pretend we're not in New Orleans. Even though we're pulling into the city, you can see the bridge that we just passed in front of us.
I don't want to take a step back here, but there's something that I wrote down that I want to bring up. The whole story just happened really fast, right?
Right.
Like, the whole setup for, like, him being the chaperone, like, he hadn't... movie, I don't even think, was, like, 15 minutes in, and he was already at the school becoming a chaperone.
This movie was about an hour and a half, and it felt longer than Raw.
Yeah. This movie
felt so long, but it really... It was, like, a really short movie.
Yeah, but it just... It happened so fast. Like, everything was just like, now you're fucking... you're the chaperone already. You're out of prison, now you're a chaperone.
Yep.
You're a good guy. You've changed. There's change, right?
There's change.
I also want to mention the principal, Joe Bob Briggs from TNT's Monster Vision. That was pretty awesome. I love Monster Vision.
That was Joe Bob. So Triple H is walking back, and we see a building on fire, and it turns out this is his apartment. And we had no idea because they didn't really establish that he lived in a building or anywhere that wasn't a bed.
He just lived in a room in between dimensions.
Yeah.
They just gave him an apartment just to burn it down.
Yep.
That's it. You know?
We never saw exterior shots of this building. If they gave us like one exterior shot of this building, we'd have been like, oh, his house is on fire when it was burning down. But we no.
Yeah. Yeah. We never saw him walk
somehow
outside.
Somehow he affords a cell phone at some point in this movie.
Oh my God, yes. I don't know where he got a fucking iPhone from.
Because he's using a payphone in this last scene. But when he goes on a field trip, he has an iPhone all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Maybe he got it with the money he got for doing the bank job, right? Because he goes to fucking Uncle Eddie and's like, hey, let's do this job.
Yeah, and he gives like...
him some cash.
Yeah, swap a couple hundreds or whatever.
Yeah, so maybe...
I do remember that.
Maybe he bought it, but it was weird because he didn't have...
No. Now I do remember. I remember. When he's in the car and he leaves them in the bank.
Right.
He pulls a phone out of the cup holder before he gets out.
Okay.
I remember that now. That just kind of hit.
But his daughter knew the number.
That's a good point. Another inconsistency. Now, thought we explained it off? Nope. Thought we explained it pretty well. No, you did not. Because how does she know the number?
All right, so Triple H agrees to drive for the bank robbery. We get introduced to all the fucking kids going on the charter bus. So we meet the fireworks kid whose dad gives him a bunch of money to buy fireworks. We meet the mean girls who are just mean for no reason, and they kiss their mom on the cheek like Europeans.
Yeah.
The super organized kid who's super organized. That's his only character trait.
Who could have been played by Michelle's little gay friend if this movie was.
Yes, he could have. I thought that's.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my God, like this is like a carbon copy of that fucking kid.
He reminded me of Menlo from Recess, who was voiced by, wait for it, Michelle's gay friend from Full House.
Yes, yes. Oh my God. Or fucking, who was the fucking little smart kid in Boy Meets World? Mangus.
Okay.
Kind of like Mangus in fucking Boy Meets World. The fucking little smart kid with the bowl cut. Was it weird that he had a mole? I've never seen a mole that dark on a guy, on a male before, ever.
I've seen plenty of dudes with moles.
Threw me off.
It's not uncommon for a man to have a mole. I have like three of them like right here.
But I mean to have like a fucking like beauty mark mole like fucking your Cindy Crawford or something like right there on your fucking
lip. Yeah, that Cindy Crawford mole going on.
It was distracting. It was really just every time that kid talked, I just kept staring at that fucking mole the entire time. I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, so Triple H is just sitting in front of the bank. They go to rob the bank wearing George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice masks for a joke that should have been 10 years earlier, I guess.
Yeah.
It was so this is like a movie that was made 10 years too late.
Yep.
It could have been sitting on the shelf forever. Like, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
The lady came around was like, oh my God, you're Condoleezza Rice.
Like, yeah, it could have been made like right around the time like fucking Evolution was around or something. And we don't know.
These movies get written and sit on shelves for God knows how long.
Yeah. And they just,
let's make it. No, we don't need to update this. This fucking joke. Let's keep going.
Yeah. This is gold. Why do we need to update this? Because he's wearing a Reagan mask. We're talking about Ronald Reagan and slap bracelets here. Maybe we ought to do something to update this a little bit. Alright.
Yeah, so Triple H bitches him after having a flashback of him teaching his daughter how to drive.
After conveniently robbing a bank that's across the street from the bus where his daughter is getting on.
Right. The fucking, like, they don't even, like, show this. He just leaves, and it just so happens that the school is, like, right around the corner.
What school is next to a bank? Come on, man. I mean, maybe like down the street a ways or around the corner, but not right next door. Come on, man. That's just terrible writing. And the more and more this movie went on, the more and more I kept thinking.
Yeah, in my notes, the bank robbery goes bad when they realize Triple H ditched them. Robber with the money drops it in front of the bus in front of Triple H's bus. Apparently, school is right next to the bank.
Yeah. For convenience.
Uncle Eddie and the other robber like carjack this woman who's like the most calm person to ever have guns in her face. Like, hey, you're not going to work today.
Yes,
and
she's
not?
I wrote down the same thing. I had the same thought as you. That's so awesome. I said the same. Like, she was. Everybody in that bank was super chill with having guns pointed in their face. Oh my God. That's awesome that you fucking. That you wrote
this
that
down. This whole movie is the most gun shy criminals ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pointing guns, cocking guns, but no one ever shoots a gun.
Nope.
Not one.
Because we're PG.
Yeah. It was actually PG-13. There was no bad words. Like, they'll get to be like son of a and then blank and then like mother and then nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they would start
like the words,
but they never, I don't even think they said ass in this movie.
It just kept thinking, the more and more this movie went on, the more I thought Vince had a hand in writing this movie.
Why did you say that?
Well, it'll come up later. I'm not going to bring it up now, but like, when it comes up, I started thinking back on everything we had watched prior, and I'm like, Oh, Vince, you had a hand in this. You had your fucking hand in this somehow, some way. Because it later on, it becomes kind of clear of how he did it. But go on, because I'll bring it up later. But go ahead with what's the next? He gets on the bus. And yeah,
they steal the car. They see Triple H on the car. Triple H and his daughter bicker on the bus. You abandoned me. I've changed. You know the drill by now.
We glossed over the fact that when they ran out of the bank, it was a whole comedy of fucking errors. They get in the car and they're sitting there for a second and somehow they don't notice Triple H isn't behind the fucking wheel. And they've also got their masks on. And then they're like, okay, we'll just wait here and chill. They don't even know. They didn't even see us walk out. And then the cops start getting closer. And then they start freaking out and they jump out of the car and they run away with a giant duffel bag of money. This giant oversized fucking duffel bag that they somehow had the time to fill to the brim with fucking stacks of fucking cash. And one of the dudes fucking takes off, trips over the bags as the fucking stoner bus driver who might as well have had like 60 joints hanging out of his mouth. He was so fucking high. Trips over all the fucking luggage, picks up the wrong duffel bag because we've never seen that before. Picks up the wrong duffel bag of money goes into the cargo hold of the bus. And then that guy gets fucking hit by a cop car.
It's like we had like two of my least favorite cliches in movies, which is the double bag cliche where it's like, oh, there's two bags that look exactly the same. One of them has a shitload of money. The other one just has fucking clothes, and the fucking liar reveal, like story where it's like, I'm pretending to be someone I'm not, and then when everybody finds out I'm not that person, everybody hates me.
Yeah, instantly.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't even think about all the like the good shit that he did beforehand.
Yeah.
Nope. You lied one time. One time you lied. Get out of my life.
So what happened? So they see Triple H on the bus and they started following him like that motherfucker double crossed us.
Yeah, so then we're on the bus and
so we meet Triple H's daughter's love interest. How old is this fucking kid?
Too old to be in this fucking high school class. I'm fucking
junior high class. Triple H's daughter has to be about 10. This dude's like 16, 17. This nigga had pubes.
I actually put Triple H's daughter around like 12 or 13.
Okay.
I just thought, she was just like a short girl. That's what I was thinking. But I really think maybe they should have put like other short people around her so she didn't look so much like a little kid.
Okay.
Because like everybody around her was like a monster.
That dude was like Triple H's height.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. And also, there's not a lot of fathers in this world that want to hook their daughters up with boys. It just especially doesn't ones happen. That
are like fucking 6 years older than them.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen because there's that bit where Triple H is fucking driving, and I actually think I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but
it's cool.
Where Triple H is driving the bus, and he like kind of like jerks it to one side to fucking throw his daughter off balance, and she fucking set right on the old boy's
right on his dick.
Oh God! Like no, that doesn't happen. Fathers are like doing nothing but trying to keep their daughters from dirty dicks. You know, they don't want it around. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, so they get to the museum and they have no tour guide, but it happens to be so convenient that Triple H is a huge dinosaur nerd.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, when he's on the bus and the kids are acting up, and Triple H is like, "Hey!" and fucking like gives that speech, and finally, like they have like the big dramatic moment where he calls himself the chaperone, like he's calling himself the fucking Terminator or something. He's like, "I'm the chaperone," and then he fucking goes and sits down.
They have to put that in for the trailer.
Oh God! And then has like a horribly boring conversation with Lisa Simpson, which leads into a horribly stupid conversation with the frumpy bald guy that's in love with Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, because she's helping everybody, like helping Lisa Simpson become a better teacher. Fucking helping
he's
frumpy bald dude that wants to fuck Lisa Simpson. Fuck Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, he's sprinkling little quotes of fucking wisdom all over this. He's nothing but quotes, this guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Bradstone. It's fucking Jesus Christ. So yeah, we get to the museum and Triple H is a fucking dinosaur expert.
Yep. Him and Michelle's gay friend, organized kid.
Yeah.
They know all about the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. And then right in the middle of a lesson, he fucking like freaks out because he sees Uncle from Grounded for Life, LaRue. I remember his name because it was a stupid name.
It was WCW Cruiserweight Champion.
Lash LaRue. I loved Lash LaRue. I remember that guy. Oh, man.
Like
his fucking sideburns were cut in the shape of an L.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he sees them and then like starts freaking out like, okay, everything's over. Get back to the bus, like, immediately. And everybody's like, whoa, what are you talking about?
Like, I got to take a leak. Like, yeah. Okay, Triple H, TMI, what the fuck?
Yeah. Which leads into one of the oddest character traits in this movie, the little kid who can't go to the bathroom without singing.
Without singing Darling Clementine.
Yeah. And his dad is standing outside the stall while this little kid is talking. So Triple H like opens the stall while this little kid's fucking got his pants around his fucking ankles.
Taking a country shit.
Triple H should have stayed in prison for one more year. Like, he is not rehabilitated at all. He needed to stay in there for one more year. Maybe learn about not fucking being weird with kids. Oh, man.
Yeah, so him and Uncle Eddie have a fight in the bathroom.
Yeah, where he throws the guy who I called Skinny Seamus, throws him into a fucking bathroom mirror, and then, breaks his nose or something, and then fucking, knocks out Uncle Eddie, and then just, walks out of the bathroom like nothing happened. And the dad in the stall just doesn't say anything about Triple H beating these guys' asses.
Yeah, there's this big brawl going on and no one seems to care. He also hit the fire alarm, so everybody leaves the museum. So Triple H comes out, bus driver's not there. Why the fuck he didn't hear this fire alarm? He's high. So Triple H has to drive the bus, which we talked about.
Yeah.
So they go to the French Quarter.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything down after this until we get to...
Okay. So let's see. We are at... Oh, yeah. Okay. Something else that we glossed over. When they're chasing him initially when they find him on the bus and they're chasing him down, right? There's this...
Oh, the diaper truck?
Yeah. There's this that really stupid slapsticky comedy moment.
What? Where they fucking, since when do they have diaper trucks anymore? What year do you think this is?
I know. Vince! Trust me, later on in this fucking movie, when they bring up what I fucking said they're gonna about to bring up, it made me think back on the other events of the movie, and I'm like, Vince. It's Vince! Fucking Vince had his fucking hand in this, man. He was like, oh, you know what's funny, buddy? Diaper trucks. Let's have a guy hit a diaper truck and get dirty diapers all over him. That's funny. That's comedy, pal. Like, no, it's not, Vince. No. Maybe in 1940s fucking Three Stooges days it was, but not anymore. Doesn't work. There's no such thing as diaper trucks. Oh, man.
So they're walking around New Orleans, and Triple H's daughter is listening to Kevin Smith. That's what she said. Kevin Smith.
I didn't catch that.
Like, oh, you listen to Kevin Smith? The fucking 6 foot tall 16-year-old trying to fuck a 10-year-old. And the mean girls are jealous because he's talking to this girl. Like, no one here even knows who Kevin Smith is.
The mean girl walks up to him while he's talking to her and is just like, hey, skateboard guy, I thought we were going to go to lunch. Let's leave right now. Let's go to lunch. And he's like, no, I'm cool. I'm going to stay here because this chick's really deep and I'm really deep. So we're going to be deep together. Just terrible. I didn't catch as he said Kevin Smith. That's funny. Yeah. No, it's like, I know it's probably like some like jazz singer or whatever the hell she was listening
not
to.
Not even a real person. It was actually Kellen Smith, but Kevin Smith sounded funny. I Googled it. They just made up the name.
That's, yeah, okay. I remember.
So Triple H talks to his daughter's boyfriend and like, hey, what can we do in the city? Like, oh, go to this record store. Here's the band she likes or the guy she likes. And so they go to the record store, like, you have any Kellen Smith? I want to get into him.
Yeah, I bet you do. I want to get up in him.
He talks about how Frank Sinatra changes his life while they're eating French fries in some diner.
Yeah.
All the good food in New Orleans, they go eat French fries and soda.
Yeah, and then there's like a really quick, like, angry, sad moment where she's like, why did you go to jail? You just left us alone and mom cried for months.
That was her whole thing. It was like, you left us and you abandoned me. Like, nigga, I went to jail. Yeah. If I had my way, I would have been kept doing crimes and never go to jail. But hey, you weren't complaining when we were driving that nice fucking Challenger around and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jail paid for that. Like, crime paid for that shit. Jail crime made all that shit go away. So I didn't go away. The police took me away.
And then fucking, oh God, what was it? There's something else in that fucking bit that was just so dumb. Like, he starts talking about, about, like, the first date he had with her mom and how he got her a fucking, like, one of those, like, oil lamps or some shit.
I don't even remember that shit.
Yeah, there was a whole fucking thing where he's talking about that shit.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Fireworks Kid dished the fucking everybody else to go buy fireworks.
Yeah. As soon as they get to the hotel, everybody's, like, making foreshadowing plans.
Yeah.
The fucking fireworks like, kid.
Wait till they see what I do. It's gonna make Angelina Jolie look like shit.
Yeah. And what doctor is giving a girl that young collagen injection?
What did she even do? Did she like do it herself? Did she go to somebody? Did she find like somebody in an alley? No need to explain. We're gonna have the subplot.
Yeah, need to explain it.
We'll talk about it in the beginning. And we'll pay it off in the end. But everything in the middle, all up to your imagination.
Yeah, you can just do a walk-in collagen injection. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Especially a fucking like really young teenage girl can just walk in off their streets. Hey, inject my lips with a bunch of bullshit so that they're fucking like big dick sucking lips like fucking Ashley Simpson. Or she said Ashley Simpson a bunch of times and I kept thinking back, I'm like, I don't think Ashley Simpson had like huge lips.
Was it Ashley Simpson or Jessica Simpson?
I'm pretty sure she said Ashley Simpson.
I don't even remember what either.
And that's her like really untalented sister, the now, one that again, fucking got
a reference from 10 years earlier than this movie came out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like Ashley Simpson had already like been caught lip syncing on Saturday Night Live by this point.
Yeah.
Because that's what destroyed that girl's career.
It was 2010. I moved to Chicago in 2011. So.
Boy. Yeah. Yeah. So that happened way before then.
Yeah. This movie had some really out of date jokes. The Bush references and the Condoleezza Rice and Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson. She said Angelina Jolie, but she also brought up, Ashley Simpson.
Yeah. Lisa Simpson in this movie, so I guess it makes sense.
Boy. Just good God.
Yeah, so while Triple H and his daughter are on an excursion, we get the liar reveal, so everybody finds out that Triple H is really a criminal, and so now everybody hates Triple H.
Yeah. Instantly. I wrote down, I wanted Triple H to have a prison flashback and pummel one of the kids. When he was all like getting like real jittery at the museum and shit, I wanted him to like have some kind of prison flashback and just start punching little kids. Just start punching his way out of the museum. That would have been funny.
So Uncle Eddie and his stooge kidnapped Triple H's daughter. I don't know. Where'd they kidnap her from? How'd they even get her? I already forgot.
They found her outside, I think. Like, they were outside the hotel and then they got her and then they led her to the elevator to go up to Triple H's room to get the big bag of money.
Okay.
And because that's how they got the big bag of money. And then, oh, guess what? It's not the big bag of money. it's the fucking, it's the other fucking person's bag. We switched the bags again. Dirt, you know. Don't take the fucking time to just barely open up the zipper and look. Just grab whatever old bag and be like, oh, that's money in there.
So I'm going to skip some shit. So they go to the cemetery. They tell Triple H to come get the kid or come bring the money. So he puts her in a cab and here's the bag of money. But wasn't it the bag of clothes then? That's when it was the bag of clothes when they did the switch off.
Yeah. Yeah, when they did the switch off there. And she's trying to tell the cab driver to stop. And man, he's not going to stop because Triple H told him not to. So.
Yep. So she teams up with the love interest kid, the firework kid, the organized gay kid to figure out where Triple H is. She's like, hey, you have that app on your iPhone to trace any other iPhone? What fucking app is this? Any iPhone in the world, you can just type in the phone number and find out where it is. That's just a free app on the market. Yeah.
And then the little kid has like fucking like military fucking tracking technology on his fucking iPad.
Yeah.
It's just like triangulating the fucking frequency and shit. And it's like, oh, that red dot, there he is right there. That's him. Didn't take, it took them like 2 seconds. He asked 2 questions from her, and then it's like, oh, yep, there he is right there. Thanks, computers.
Yeah, so they go to this warehouse, and no. So what happened was they escaped from the lockdown that the police put them on. The fireworks kid sets off fireworks in the bathroom and says, hey, somebody has a gun in the bathroom. And it distracts the police, and the kids steal the bus.
That kid's name might as well have been Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, so Mean Girl follows them, and then we get the reveal of her collagen lips. So it's like, oh, it's supposed to be Jessica Simpson.
I'm supposed to be Jessica Simpson. What is happening? Oh, Jesus. Like, they only gave her collagen injections, so when she eventually called the cops, they couldn't understand her.
Yeah.
That was the only reason.
So they go to this warehouse. It's a parade warehouse where they keep the floats and shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The little girl drives the bus. The tiny fucking girl who is tinier than everybody in this movie. Why not
the 6'3", 16-year-old who might have a driver's license and a family and probably a job? Why did he drive the bus?
I don't understand how she was able. She didn't adjust the seat or anything.
Nope.
She just fucking sat down.
Oh, because remember that flashback where Triple H showed her how to park the car when she was like 3?
Yeah.
That's how she had to drive.
Yeah, no, I got that. It's just she didn't adjust the seat or anything. There's no way she could have fucking reached the pedals or seen over the steering wheel. Not a damn way. There's no fucking way possible. It's not real. That didn't happen. It can't happen.
Yeah, so the kids all go home alone on Uncle Eddie and his friend. And then
they pull out
the guns, and Triple H calls Dr. Ruth and puts her on speakerphone while they fucking do their Bond villain reveal, everything that they did wrong.
Yeah.
Well, on live radio.
Yeah.
And again, these guys have guns cocked at people, and no one shoots a gun or even tries to shoot.
And everybody is listening to this self-help woman on the radio.
Everybody, the whole world.
Cops. Everybody's fucking listening to this gal. She's the most popular radio person ever.
She's Paula Deen.
Why are you listening to music on the radio? Why aren't you listening to the fucking Paula Deen lady? Paula Deen Kathy Bates. She's trying to help you. Stop listening to music on the radio.
Yeah. She has 39 steps to freedom and shit.
39. Jesus Christ.
Alcoholics only need 12.
Yeah, alcoholics only need 12. Prisoners need like 39. Yep. It needs upwards of 40 steps.
So the police come. There's a scene where Elliot DeMauro is trying to do some romantic shit for his wife for no apparent reason. I guess they have the house themselves. So he's in a tuxedo with a violin guy.
He was going to ask her to marry him.
Oh, they were already married.
Apparently not, because he fucking set out a fucking engagement ring.
Did he? I thought they were married. No,
I know, I did too. And then he set out that engagement ring on the table and was like super nervous and calling the fucking violin guy and like, okay, when I give you the cue, start playing, you know. And how she didn't realize this was all going on in her own house while she's in her house It's baffling. Completely baffling.
It's just weird. It's like they had that scene in, and they don't think they realized that they were said, oh, this is my husband.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like a big diamond fucking engagement
ring. I didn't even see that. I guess I was typing when that shit happened.
Yeah.
So she freaks out and she goes to drive to New Orleans. So she shows up at the very end of the movie and like, Triple H, what are you doing here and shit? Why are you fucking up my kid's life?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Triple H is innocent. He didn't do it. He was all over the radio.
It's all over the radio. You know the radio show that everybody listens to? The only show ever on the radio.
It wasn't even Loveline. Like, if it was Loveline, that would make sense. Because everybody listens to fucking Loveline.
Yeah, everybody's fucking listening to this lady. So, yeah, so then you find out, like, okay, then Triple H is, like, exonerated of all charges, and, oh, you really did do good. You really are fucking changed. Oh, and the whole thing through this whole movie, every time somebody called him Ray Ray, and he was like, oh, it's just Ray now, that got old, like, really quick.
His name is Triple H, all right?
Yeah, but in the context of the movie, everybody kept doing that. Like, they kept calling him Ray Ray, and he's like, no, it's just Ray now. Just Ray, like, one time Ray. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it happened all the way up to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Just kept going.
I wasn't going to acknowledge it because I was going to call him Triple H for the whole movie. No, it's just H now. The other two H's, gone.
It's just H now.
Just single H.
just call me H. Oh, fuck this
movie. So at the very end, he goes on a date with his fucking ex-wife. And then credits.
Before that happened, let's not forget the fucking time jump between that and the last scene of the movie where the black screen came up and it said sometime later.
I thought not it said like 6 months later.
No, just said sometime later.
Oh, okay.
Not 6 months later, not 10 months later, not a year later, sometime.
It could have been tomorrow.
It could have been like the next fucking day, because his daughter didn't age anything. You know, she still looked the exact same.
Yeah, and she didn't get arrested for stealing a bus.
Yeah, it's totally cool if you're a little kid and you want to steal a bus. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, with that. So, and then Triple H opens the door and it's her mom and they're gonna have a fucking date. They're getting back together and. There.
Where L.A. DeMauro is in his mansion, I'm sure he paid for with his doctor money. No idea.
Yeah. Like, you never hear about that guy ever again.
Nope.
Like, he did this big, elaborate, fucking romantic thing, trying to do something nice. He's not a dick in this movie.
He's not
like, he's a nice dude. He's just a doctor. Like, he was really cool to Triple H when they opened the door. He was cool through the whole fucking movie, and then it's like they fucking kind of try to make him out to be a villain, even though he's not. Like, I don't know. This whole movie was bullshit.
This movie was stupid.
So fucking dumb.
The people that were in this movie was just surprising. Like,
yeah. Lisa Simpson showing up.
Yeah.
That was weird. Oh, yeah. Were you worried if Lisa Simpson and the frumpy guy got together? They didn't. But you wouldn't know it because they never address it again.
What was the thing that you said was very Vince McMahon that happened later on? Oh,
it was when they were in the diner and she was talking about how much she loved like Frank Sinatra and like all this really old music that no kid at that age would fucking like at all.
It was Triple H that liked Frank Sinatra.
No, it was her too.
Nope.
And she liked all this like old old timey fucking jazz music.
No,
she, like especially yeah, no, maybe not Frank Sinatra specifically, but it was like when fucking she was talking when she was like singing and the fucking teenager guy fucking came up to her and he like they were fucking being like deep teenagers together, like she was listening to some old thing or whatever. No, she and was like
listening to Kevin Smith.
But no fucking kid is listening to fucking that. Like, they only fucking added that to make her seem.
She was singing it, and it sounded like a generic pop song.
It was stupid. But that whole scene, it just seemed like right out of Vince's head. Whether it was her liking it or Triple H, like, it doesn't matter. They just added Frank Sinatra in there because Vince was like, you know what I like, buddy? You know what I like, pal? I like Frank Sinatra. I want to see more Frank Sinatra in that movie.
See, I don't think that
was... There was a lot of, like, there was a lot of dated Vince shit.
Vince likes AC/DC and Metallica. Pat Patterson is this Frank Sinatra guy.
But still, man, it just... Vince has something in this. All the fucking... The old jokes, like the old-timey comedy jokes and shit, the diaper thing. Like, it just... There's too much evidence that fucking was like, no, Vince had something to do with this
movie. I'm pretty sure this is just a movie written in like 2008 that they just bought.
It was written in like, fucking 1991, and then they were just sitting on it this entire time. Or like the second Triple H fucking entered the company, it's like, I'm gonna write this movie about you, buddy. I'm gonna write this movie, pal. I'm gonna call it The Chaperone, but we're not gonna release it until 2011.
Vince wrote the movie.
Vince had something to do with the writing of this movie. Just it's too coincidental. So
that's the chaperone.
That was a chaperone. I don't suggest it.
I suggest it. If you want to like kill several brain cells, like by the end of the movie was about an hour, 20 minutes. By an hour in, I was looking at the fucking time on how much time I had left to watch the fucking movie.
Yeah.
All the kids were like plotting. I'm like, how much longer is this shit going to go? Because I don't know if I can handle it.
I was just waiting to watch Gotham. Like, that's all. Like, the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm just like, I just want this to end so I can watch Gotham.
Oh, yeah. I was ready to roll. So let me see what else we got on Netflix that we can watch. We can do Bending the Rules. I put all the WWE films in my list. Bending the Rules.
So that's
The Reunion starring John Cena. Knucklehead with the Big Show. Legendary with John Cena, which looks motivational.
That one, the Knucklehead, I am not looking forward to watching.
And Inside Out starring Triple H and Michael Rapaport. And Parker Posey. There's like real actors in that movie.
Isn't she the girl that's in there, that's in Blade Trinity with him?
I don't know.
The Triple H is in Blade Trinity. Isn't that Parker Posey that's in that movie with him?
Let's see. Parker Posey. Well, I guess I can't spell.
I'm pretty sure that's who was in Blade Trinity
with him. I pretty much remember her from Scream 3.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Blade Trinity.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So
you can watch the reunion of Parker Posey and Triple H.
Yeah. But I've seen the cover of Knucklehead with Big Show, and it looks he's being a giant wearing a diaper.
Let's see. Drowning in gambling debts to his bookie, a former MMA champ training the General Giant for a high stakes fighting competition to win a $100,000 prize. That's Knucklehead.
Oh boy.
Let's see. The Reunion with John Cena. Despite their amicus for one another, three brothers, a suspended cop, a bail bondsman, and a thief just out of jail, unite to pursue a kidnapper. This has Ethan Embry and Amy Smart with John Cena. You want to do the Edge one next?
I think I want to do Edge next, yeah.
So Bending the Rules with Jamie Kennedy and Edge. When his dad's vintage Studebaker stolen, a desperate district attorney tries to get it back by turning to a corrupt cop he couldn't quite convict. So Edge is a corrupt cop. I've only seen like the first 3 seconds of it, but the sound was off, so I stopped watching it.
Okay.
So The Chaperone was terrible.
It's fucked up. I don't know if I can suggest it. I mean, if you're looking for a really bad movie, then yeah, go for it.
If you like really bad movies that are hella cliche.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to see Lisa Simpson live action, then
watch Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, watch Maximum Overdrive instead, because that shit's got Emilio Estevez in it.
Emilio!
Emilio! Oh, man. And a fucking semi-truck with Green Goblin's face on the front of it. Yep, so.
You cannot go wrong with Maximum Overdrive. No.
Yeah, it's great. So
let's get out of here because it's bedtime.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some plugs. So,
and
upcoming events.
Upcoming events!
So it's Wednesday, so you can go to Dice Dojo, play board games. I won't be there because I'm working. Karaoke night also. Jim, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is @SweetJimReaper.
Ooh, it's
too follow me. Sweet, too sweet.
Jim Reaper.
Sweet, @SweetJimReaper. Follow me @MimeAndFishBomb. That's Brian. Follow him.
Yeah, Brian, follow yourself.
Yeah, follow Brian. Yeah, because you're probably the only one listening to this.
Follow
retweet
me.
Retweet this like crazy.
On Twitter @NinjaTylerBlack or follow the show @RockWrestlingPC.
It's a PC.
Because I'll tweet from there more than anywhere. If you have emails, if you want to be on the show, send us an email, rockwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. rockwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. That's our regular website. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and every other podcasting medium that exists.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got? What else do you just say before we get out of here?
I got nothing. I don't think I have anything else to plug. Yeah, really.
That Chaperone movie killed my brain cells.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks, not next week, because we're going to talk about the pay-per-view next week. So in 2 weeks, we're going to review Bending the Rules starring Edge. So watch that. Send us your feedback on that movie if you want to get in on the show, Myman. And shout out to Jesse Jones. And this has been another exciting edition of The Rock
and Wrestling
Podcast.
Hey!
I've got 12-sided die. I've got